Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, offering Irish businesses practical knowledge and support to become more sustainable. AIB, for the life you're after.
In the Green Scene today, we're going to talk about those irritating new plastic bottle and carton caps. Are they important for sustainability? But first, how social media are putting our rarest wildlife at risk. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, social media and our endangered wildlife.
Yeah, and look, I mean, many people would say social media has been a great force to communicate with people the kind of plight of biodiversity. And we've even seen citizen scientists using their phones to identify new species of wildlife. But this is new paper that was published in Science of the Total Environment from researchers in Western Australia. And the paper's called Liked to Death. And as the scientists said themselves, this was sort of driven by this collective rage of seeing the impact of people flocking to places where there's particularly rare wildlife. And that's because it's become a trend on social media now, and maybe among the most well-meaning people, you know, bird watchers and people who are interested in nature, to post online the exact location of a very rare species.
So they're trying to spread the word, as it were, you know, how wonderful these creatures are and how we should mind them. And people say, well, I want to see that.
Exactly. And of course, the sort of paradox is the rarer something becomes, the more people want to see it. So this paper highlights that when this happens and people are going into these, you know, the exact location of these very rare species, you know, they're disrupting particularly things like birds that are very sensitive to this. So they're breeding, they're feeding. I mean, if it's a rare plant, they could just be trampling on the plants. And they also highlight some pretty sort of sinister activities that may be driven, so, you know, to get a good picture of a rare species. So these things could be like playing a bird call to attract a bird out of hiding, using drones to get in over habitats that are inaccessible, using basic, using food to draw a species out. And of course, these are not practices that any conservationist would really engage in.
Now, tell me what happened in the Cairngorms National Park.
Yeah, so this is a bird called the capercaillie. It's a large woodland grouse, and it's one of Scotland's rarest birds. There's only about 500 of them left in the wild. And there are legal protections. You're not allowed to disturb these birds during the breeding season, but many people are going to try and catch a glimpse of them. So there was 17 people in 2022 that were all thronged around an area called the Lek. This is where the male grouse come out to do their dance and attract females, all trying to get photos. There was one bird watcher, you know, who was flushing birds out into the open to try and get pictures. But these birds will then leave the site, and many of them did leave the site, and we're not even sure if they came back. They didn't, you know, we're not sure what happened to their breeding season that year. We've had similar incidents in the Shetland Islands where people flocked to see this bird, the lanceolated warbler, and the bird possibly abandoned the place. And the same thing has happened in China. Again, very rare. A blue-crowned laughing thrush, this beautiful little bird. Again, we believe that photographers have altered the site to the point that the bird won't nest there anymore. So what the researchers are saying is we need some sort of codes of conduct. We've started to look at the impact of social media on humans. We need to now start thinking about the impact of social media on the natural world.
And then there's that conflict between those who want to keep people away from these sensitive areas and those who say, well, they're going to be gone, I better photograph them and record them before they go.
Absolutely. And this is where, you know, maybe social media can be turned around to help. And in fact, in the Cairngorms Park, they used a campaign called Lek It Be. So ideally, you know, a campaign to sort of say, make it unacceptable to be going into the Lek and disturbing the birds. And that does seem to have had some success. So maybe we can turn it around the other way.
Now, those new tethered caps on bottles and cartons, and many of us, when they came out first, we thought it was a mistake in the factory, that they hadn't quite done the proper job of severing them. We didn't realise it was intended.
It was intended, and it was, as you say, they sort of appeared overnight in July, and that's because an EU directive came in which required that all single-use bottles have caps that remain attached. And the reason for this is actually a good one. Plastic bottle lids are one of the top 10 litter items that are found in rivers and seas and oceans, and those caps are far more likely to find their way into places where they can damage wildlife. They're far more likely to be ingested by wildlife than the whole bottle. And actually, the initiative was modelled, many of us might remember that drinks cans used to have a ring pull that was detachable, and that created a small, sharp bit of metal, and now it's attached to the can. So it's the same idea. If it's one piece of plastic waste, it's much easier to deal with.
And it does take a bit of personal training to get used to pouring from a big particularly the larger milk carton. You've got to swing it around.
You do. But we'll all get used to it. But the answer really is that it is helpful for us to do this. And, you know, hard plastics now we're getting quite a good handle on. And if we can keep those lids attached to hard plastics, we have relatively good recycling routes. And obviously things like the return scheme should improve our recycling of
now,
those kind of bottles.
What are they? Are they polyethylene or PVC?
They're different kind of plastics, even in hard plastic. But I mean, really where our challenge lies in Ireland and globally is with soft plastics. And this is an area which I find very confusing. But this is really where we have to focus our attention when it comes to plastic.
You got, say, crisps in kind of a cellophane material, which is made from cellulose, as the name. Now you get it in plastic.
You do, and mixed plastics. Sometimes we're not even sure exactly what the plastic is.
But you're told if it's contaminated, so your crisp packet is a bit greasy. Is that recyclable?
It needs to be rinsed. And actually, that is the critical thing here, because, again, there was research, there was a study done or really an investigation done in the UK. And what they found was supermarkets, you know, you can take back some of your soft plastics to the supermarket. They say it's going to be recycled. But both Sainsbury's and Tesco's in the UK got caught out because people put trackers on the soft plastic and 70% of it ended up being incinerated, not recycled. Now, it's likely that that is probably true here in Ireland, too, in that 70% of all our soft plastic probably is being incinerated, but we're very open about that. We know that's what's happening. So what we've done here in Ireland now, since 2021, we're being asked to put all our soft plastics in the recycling bin, as long as they are clean, dry and loose. So we do need to rinse them. And if they're overly contaminated, we can't put them in the bin.
So you're supposed to rinse your crisp packet?
Well, just rinse out the inside, and then let it dry. That's what I do.
Do you ever ask yourself, though, the cost of processing the water to make it clean?
Well, if you use the water that you were already using for something else. But the point here is that many plastics still have labels that say don't recycle them. And that's very confusing for the Irish consumer, because really anything you can scrunch in your hand that's plastic, if you can get it to clean, dry and loose, you should put it in. But it's not a perfect fix by any means, because those plastics are being separated manually, some of them still, and they are being used to create energy by being burned.
Okay, so it's not all lost. If it does eventually go to incineration, it may be providing useful energy somewhere. If, however, and so far we have not connected the Dublin recycling incinerator to district heating, that's just going to up the chimney.
It is. And some of it's going overseas. And there is a whole move now for big consumer goods factories to link, particularly with cement plants, because cement plants need a huge amount of energy. And that's kind of an interim solution. But it isn't ideal, because what are we doing? We're putting the pollution up into the air, as you say. So you could argue we're moving the pollution from one place to the other. But there are some innovative ideas. There's a company called Paltech, which is working with Tesco in Ireland, and they're compacting those soft plastics to create building materials. Okay. And in fact, one of the new Tesco stores use those building materials to build their new store. So we need to come up with better ways than just burning. But we also need to keep asking questions about recycling.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, offering Irish businesses practical knowledge and support to become more sustainable. AIB, for the life you're after.